Greetings in the name of our Lord this morning. It is good to be gathered, and frankly, I'm impressed at how many people we do have here. I was expecting maybe half as many as we have, so I am grateful for that, grateful for the visitors that are among us, and trust that you can feel a part of us and blessed to be here. I have, in thinking about half of a church full of people, reminds me of a of a story, and I almost don't deserve, the story about it doesn't deserve being repeated, but I'm thinking it, I'll get it out. There was this this cowboy church that had one lone cowboy show up, and the pastor said, "Shall we go ahead and have church?" And he said, "Well, sure." And so they went ahead and they had a regular church service. And after the cowboy's comment was, "Well, you wouldn't have had to have given the full load just with one person here." And so I admit that as I thought about this subject this morning, I had thought about continuing the one from the time before and decided to take one. And it's not just a half load. In fact, I'm just scratching the surface on a subject that is enormous. But we are in the time of year that made me think of it. I think of this often come about this time of year, about the way that we think about gift giving. Now the whole idea of giving is so much bigger than just giving gifts to each other. And as I got into it and began seeing the biblical, the scriptural background for giving, it's really the giving is at the heart of God Himself. And of course we know that the greatest gift that He gave was the Lord Jesus in John 3:16. Reminds us that it was the Father's love that sent Jesus to this earth. And for many years, I thought it was Jesus that had the love. Well, He did too. But that's not the way John 3:16 says it. It was the Father's love that He gifted us with Christ and with the redemption through Christ. Well, so we're coming close to a time of the year that we call the holiday season, and there's reasons we call it that because we do have several holidays in close succession, and it just sort of disrupts things in some measure. When I was more squarely in business than I am now, I used to always be so glad once these days were past, you could get back to work. Well, that's not necessarily a compliment to me. It tells me how I felt about holidays, I guess. But the thing that I would cite is that one of the important parts for our society in these next months is going to be gift giving, and so I felt inspired to just touch on that subject, and that's about as close as I can get. I hope to look at a bit of the biblical underpinnings of giving in general, and then I'd like to look at some of the pitfalls of giving, and not in the way that we give, I should say. I don't think there are pitfalls in giving, but in the way that we give, sometimes there are pitfalls. And then I'd like to get practical and look, well, what are things that, how should we give then? So if you'll bear with me, we'll sort of plod through this. And this is the kind of message that I do hope, if I can sit on myself well enough, but there may be some time left for comments or questions that you have, because this is not something that's peculiar to my thought processes. You have you have ideas about giving too, and get and how that how you could be involved and should be involved, how we should be involved. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Corinthians 8. And I'd like to read both from 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, primarily from 8. But we have there in chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, we have quite a bit of instruction on giving. And principles of giving, and then in 9, a few verses as well. I'm going to read verses 1 through 15 in chapter 8. Beginning at verse 1, and I am reading from the King James. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. And this is referring to their giving. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love, for ye know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, that this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, and that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. That's as far as I read in this passage. And then I'd like to also read two verses in chapter 9, where he says this, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, but God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I admit that the King James is a little laborious when you wade through some of this, but we get the gist of some of the concepts, some of the principles of giving that the Apostle Paul here is laying out. And he calls giving a grace, if I could lay my eyes on it, that this whole idea of being generous, of giving, is something that that is a that ought to be a part of our Christian experience. I'm going to attempt a definition on gift giving. This does not come from Webster; it comes from Yoder. But I sometimes see we may not quite get the gist of just a raw definition. And so here's what I'd like to propose: that giving is the act of giving something I own or acquire to another, relinquishing ownership and expecting nothing in return. Does that, should I repeat it? What I'm trying to say by that is that when we give a gift, it is truly a gift when we release it and we make no claims to, there's no strings attached. It can hardly be considered a gift under a lot of other circumstances. And there's lots of other circumstances that we give things under that probably are not a gift. And we'll look at some of those just a bit later. So nothing, when I say expecting nothing in return, I mean that we don't... nothing in terms of a favor, nothing in terms of evening the score. Gift giving should never be an effort to try to win. Maybe I overstate it when I say it should never be. Maybe what I'm saying is you can't really call it gift giving. I don't think if you're going to insist on having some things coming back to you. And one of the things that, of course, that this whole idea of being gifted something implies is that what we have, we don't have anything that hasn't been given to us. The Apostle Paul gets rather eloquent in, I'm sorry, now I should have looked up that, where he talks about people who take pride in what they have as though they didn't receive it. He asks the question, so what do you have that you didn't receive? And that's probably a little bit of a hobby horse of mine because it makes sense that we don't gloat over the things that we received, because none of us have much that we didn't receive, and I've used this illustration before, and I always chuckle when I see a bumper sticker that talks about being the proud parent of a child in the gifted class at a certain high school or grade school. You get the irony? So this proud parent is proud because of this child's giftings, and the giftings have nothing to do with what the parent gave them. Well, maybe genetics, but maybe not. But you see the whole idea that we get enamored with the things that we have or that we've been gifted as though we had not been gifted them. That's what the Apostle Paul actually says in that passage. And he sort of pokes a little fun at the people who do that. And it's very easy for us to do that about ourselves. The things that we have, sometimes we feel good about are what we call our native abilities or the things that we could do well or whatever. And we forget that these are ways that God has ministered to us. And then when we take credit for ourselves or we take pride in them, it seems to me we're sure shortchanging God in the picture when he actually is the one who gives. And so this whole thing of giving, this is why I'm saying it's so much bigger than just gift giving. But that's what I'm going to be focusing on a bit more this morning yet. Well, true gift giving frees the recipient from any obligation to reciprocate. I mean, if I truly receive a gift, I don't have to give back anything. Now, if I am an adult and a responsible adult, I will certainly give back gratitude, I would think. But I'm not tied. If it is truly a gift with no strings attached, there's nothing that I have to give back. And fortunately, in God's economy, this is a gift giving is a relational function that sort of ties us together. And so while I don't have to give anything back, there is still something about how gifts minister to us that can have an important, can be important. So while I'm saying we don't have to reciprocate, the truth of the matter is we do and we ought to. However, I'm talking now from the perspective of the one giving. We should not give with the hope of getting back. That's not the purpose. If we do, we can hardly consider it a gift. In other words, giving a gift is lavishing our goodness on another without expecting returns. Gift giving does provide a reciprocal relationship. And God, the ultimate giver, gave his Son for our salvation, for our good. Now, it is true that God gave his Son to us. But he did so without strings attached. We are not required to receive the gift. He still gave it. And so, because though we do reciprocate, we do receive the salvation that he gave us. And so there is that reciprocal action that happens when because of God's giving. He gave it for our good, but we receive it, and then we live in relationship with God. And I'm calling it reciprocal just because because God gives and we respond. And so it is this back and forth. And so while God freely gave, he invites us, and we who are redeemed are wise to enter into that relationship on a daily basis through worship. The first attempts of gift giving recorded in the Bible is, I think, the account of two brothers named Cain and Abel. Now, if you look at that, if you don't mind, we'll turn to Genesis chapter 4, and I'd like to just read from that a bit. This is a story about two men who I believe were making an effort at giving God something. There's things we don't understand about the story, but there is some things we can learn. So I'd like to read just several verses. Verse 3. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, Maybe it's a bit of a stretch to say this is the first effort we have recorded of gift giving, and yet I think it is. Because both these men brought something to God. They both brought something that they had nurtured. And the story is a bit incomplete in our mind because we don't know what went wrong for Cain and what went right for Abel. My suspicion is that that somehow the offering that Cain brought was a self-serving gift of sorts. And I can't prove it, but there was something wrong with the way he brought it in comparison to how Abel did, that it left that God was displeased with it. And we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us how God showed his displeasure, but Cain understood it, that what he did, there was something wrong with it. Whereas Abel, God received the offering that Abel brought. Well, that is the first incident that I'd refer to. But I think if I'm not mistaken, it looks to me like these men were, this may have been an effort at worshiping God. And so I think giving ought to be a function of worship. And again, the Bible doesn't tell us it's exactly what they were doing, but we do know that in the Old Testament, most times when they brought offerings, it was for worship. And so I'm assuming that probably this is where Cain and Abel started, that this was their offering to God, that was their way of worshiping God. But somehow, it fell short. Now, we don't quickly associate worship and giving, but I think that giving is one of the higher forms of worship that there is, because we are giving back to the giver. Is that right? I guess, because he gave it to us to begin with, so I guess it is ours to give. And so I think it is in some ways at least recognizing the giver, because we give back to him. Now, I find it interesting that one of the most obvious examples of giving and worship comes where the wise men brought their gifts. Matthew 2:11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So at least the wise men somehow intermingled their worship of the child, of the Christ child, with actual tangible gifts. And I believe God accepted it. It's obvious that God blessed their travels. He brought them there. He brought them to the right place. And they were worshiping, I believe, not just the Christ child, but they honored the God who brought them. At least they rejoiced greatly when they realized that when they arrived in Jerusalem and then stepped outside and saw the star that they saw in the east. By the way, that's a little beef I have with some of the stories that the star guided the wise men from the east to Bethlehem. The Bible doesn't actually say that. It says that when they saw the star that they had seen in the east, they rejoiced greatly. And so I think there was a gap there of months where they didn't see this, well, however long. But at any rate, they worshiped God and they gave gifts. So in their case, giving was an act of, it seemed like they mingled the two, the giving was an act of worship. And so it is for us, I believe, that we reciprocate when we take the initiative to give. it is a way of giving back to God. And so yes, we benefit by giving our worship, but it springs from a deep desire to honor God, not to serve ourselves. And this gets to the heart of giving, the heart of giving gifts. It is our, we give gifts not because of ourselves. Well, let me back up and say, yeah, we do sometimes give gifts because of ourselves. We can give gifts selfishly, but it's not really a gift, as I said earlier, if we are wanting something in return. If somehow something comes back to us, it's not intended that we should not give a gift with the intention of receiving again. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, it speaks of our Lord and how he gave so graciously. And here's the way he says it. For we know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now this is the example of giving that Christ showed us. He shows us because he was rich, he says, but he became poor so that he could give to us so that we can be rich. And of course, this is referring to the, I believe, to the fact that he lived in the glories of heaven, took upon himself a voluntary poverty, came to this earth, and lived among us so that we, through his poverty, could become rich. And I think that's sort of the heart of giving, that we learn giving, that we do giving for the blessing of another. And we'll look at that just a bit more later. And so there we have Jesus' own example, how that he went from riches to poverty in order that his poverty might bring us riches. True gift giving, we give out of our abundance, not our excess. The reason I say it that way is because giving out of our excess is not sacrificial giving. Am I right? Now, maybe I'm discounting giving that's not sacrificial, so forgive me if I am. But it's a reminder to me that just to give out of my excess is not necessarily, it's certainly not the way that Christ gave. We have an example in Mark 12, 42, where Jesus and his disciples beheld the widow and the difference between the widow casting in her two mites and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were giving out of their abundance, out of their excess, I should say. But the widow was giving out of her abundance. And the reason I say abundance is because we have all that we need. What we have is abundance, and it is enough. And so this is why I'm making a difference between abundance and excess. The Pharisees were giving out of their excess. They didn't need what they were giving. She actually needed what she gave up. I don't know, did she give the last two mites she had or not? But Jesus' comment about that experience was that she gave more than all the rest of them. And I think it's because she gave out of her abundance instead of her excess. Now, there may be a better way of saying it, but you get the point. When we merely give out of the things that don't hurt, then we are giving out of our excess. I remember somebody once saying that you need to give till it hurts. Then somebody said, and you ought to give till it quits hurting. You see the point? We can give because when it hurts, it's probably coming out of our excess. But when it quits hurting, it then becomes out of our abundance. It comes from what we may need ourselves, but it's going. We're giving it sacrificially. Well, how can it be? And we live in an age where my impression. From the world around me, and from my own experience, maybe I should have turned that around. It says, from my own experience in observing the world around me, that gift giving is sometimes a pain. You ever experienced that? Have you ever walked up and down the aisles at Walmart or wherever, or maybe a thrift store, trying to find just the right gift for somebody? Ask yourself, so what's driving it? Why is that so much work? And I'm not sure that I don't have it all figured out, but I think for myself, I'm looking to satisfy somebody, I'm looking to gain favor with somebody, I'm either trying to get the right gift for a grandchild that they will remember. You know what I'm talking about? Is that really gift giving? Well, I'm not sure. I don't want to over spiritualize this thing to make you feel guilty if you struggle a little bit about finding a gift. But I'm saying that if it is hard work for us to do and we get frustrated because it's getting close to time we need to have this gift. Maybe, just maybe, there's something wrong in our motivation. Giving gifts should show honor and respect to someone. It should encourage. It should supply a need or provide something. And frankly, I find gift giving life giving with the right spirit. But I find it sort of deadening if it is not inspired properly. Gift giving can be sort of troublesome. The Apostle Paul, when he speaks about how we are to exercise our spiritual gifts, uses an example that used to mystify me, but I think I understand it now. He talks about the person who gives mercy. He should do it with cheerfulness. Now, isn't the gift of mercy just automatically something you just do cheerfully? I've been blamed for having that gift, and sometimes it's more obvious than others. But I also know the challenge it is to be merciful and to be cheerful at the same time, because I know what it's like to be merciful and wish this would end. You know what I'm talking about? And so I think some of the same thing applies to giving. We can give, but we can give for wrong motives. We can give for reasons that are not honorable. Well, some of the reasons that we experience, I think that we can experience sort of a dead feeling when we give, why in giving a minister death, is because we give it with some strings attached, because we want something back. We're looking for ways that someone will give it back to us. We may be doing it because we're trying to, well, we're maybe a, a word that we use is bribe, not really one that we would want to be caught doing, but how many times do we do that kind of thing? Do we tend to? We can give gifts to try to coerce somebody into compliance. We can give a gift because we hope somebody will like us better. There's all kinds of reasons we can do that that are just sort of killers, that don't really feed our soul. Something else that I think is a huge issue for gift giving in these times is giving something that we don't own. It's entirely possible that people buy things, borrow money to buy things, to give to people. And I'm saying that to me is the same as not owning it if you have to borrow money to do it. See, how did Pere Lay used to say it? Pere Lay had this little, you borrow money that you borrow money you don't have to buy things
you don't need
to impress people you don't like. There you go. Well, that to me would be one of those cases where giving becomes a burden instead of life-giving. We have several examples, beautiful examples in the scriptures of gift-giving. There's a lot of them, but I'm choosing two of them where I think they were examples. Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek. Abraham, I think, while he had excess, what he gave was, I cannot quibble with how Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. David, when he longed for a drink of water out of the wells of Bethlehem, you'll remember that several of his soldiers broke through enemy lines and brought him back water. And he, out of gratitude, he pours it on the ground because it was too sacred to touch. It was bought with blood. They risked their lives. And so these are examples of gift giving in the scripture that just inspire me. So what should we give? What are the right things to give? And I'm going to tell you a little tale. A tale of three Cains. Cains, not kings. Some years back, Suzanne and I traveled to a foreign country, and one of the popular things to bring back from that country is a cane, a fancy wooden carved cane. And back in those days, I guess we were young enough yet that we just wanted to bring souvenirs home for our loved ones. And so we brought canes a cane from her mom and dad, from my mom and dad, and brought one home for ourselves. Guess where those canes are today? They've never been used to walk with, but they're all back in our house now. Who else would want them? We gave them, so they come back. Now, the lesson that teaches me, my dad would never have used it because it was unhandy. It was, and none of them would have, and I won't either. It's just, but it was a nice thing to have. It'll make a good piece of firewood for the generations to come sometime. I won't burn it, I promise you. But you see, I'm saying that we have these ideas about how we can gift people things that they might like, things that, and I really, it was good-hearted. It cost us money, but it did them absolutely no good. And so it has left me saying, so how do we give? How should I think about giving? And we all have to make these decisions. Recently I was looking for a gift. I think it was a gift I was looking for, walking through the aisles at Walmart. It was, in fact. But it was going to be something that my grandson could actually use. It would be educational and play. But I walked through those aisles and I saw how many gifts there are that are not, that only kill the imagination, or stifle it at least. And so there's all kinds of things like that that we can get. But when we go to choosing gifts for people, we do our friends a favor if we give them something that they really need or something that they eat. Because sometimes you give a gift, it stays around way too long. And people wonder, what do I do with this? You know, Auntie so-and-so gave it to me. I can't get rid of it. But I don't want the thing. What do I do with it? I have a friend we travel with to India. And gift-giving is a big thing in India. And so his family, when he travels back to India, likes to load gifts on him, trinkets, all kinds of stuff. And he finally told them, he said, "Don't give me these gifts." He said, "If you do, I'm going to take them home and go straight to the thrift store with them." They were aghast. Now this is, you understand why, because gift giving is a big thing in India. And he was rejecting that notion. So I guess one of the things I would just say that give gifts that people don't have to remember you too long. Give gifts that they will enjoy, can use, and a gift that you eat is enjoyed for a moment, and then it's over with. Treating others like you like to be treated as well is just one way to think about gift giving. Useful or consumable? Well, I'm not sure how best to wrap this up, but to say that as we enter this season of where people give gifts, and by the way, there are people who have been so upset with the commercialization of Christmas that they don't celebrate it at all, and I'm not critical of people who choose not to do that. We have not done that in our home. We still give some gifts. They're small. They're nothing extravagant. But there are people who simply don't do that, and I respect them. I would say this though, that given the evidence from Scripture that giving gifts is a huge thing, I think we ought to be thoughtful about it. And use, how would I say, use good judgment. But keep some of these things in mind, that if they are self-serving in any way, it's probably not a gift. And find ways to give to people that blesses them. Well, may we give as Jesus did, that though rich, out of our riches we give, and we become poor through that, so that others may be rich. May God help us to faithfully give the way He gave, selflessly and for the good of the recipient. Shall we kneel and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness to us and for the grace that You poured out on us. Thank You for how You have given Yourself and You continue to give Yourself. Thank You for giving us Your Son. And as we enter this season of time when we think about His coming, help us to receive that coming with gratitude. And then help us to respond appropriately in the ways that we share with others as we give. Thank You that You are a giving God and that we have been the recipients of so many blessings. Guide us, and may we be faithful as we use these blessings to serve you and to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.